He will do whatever he can to help the country. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's where former President Trump claims, telling Fox Digital this morning he's reached out to the Justice Department to try to bring the temperature down after the FBI searched his Florida home last week, taking 11 sets of classified documents. He wants some back, calling it
privileged attorney-client material and also executive privilege material, which they knowingly should not have taken. I respectfully request that these documents be immediately returned.
Fox's Brooks Sigmund, the former president, also says there's tremendous anger, calling last week's raid a sneak attack.
That sentiment is now at the heart of a new DHS and FBI memo about threats to federal agents. Part of that memo warned of, quote, an increase in violent threats posted on social media against federal officials and facilities, including a threat to place a so-called dirty bomb in front of FBI HQ.
Fox's Peter Doocy. The Taliban fighters held a parade in Kabul today, 1 year after Afghanistan's government collapsed, completing the Taliban takeover. Amid a U.S. troop pullout, House Republicans in a report call a failure.
In its wording, tragic yet avoidable outcomes in leaving around 800 U.S. citizens behind in Afghanistan. The National Security Council, replying through a memo, says the House Republicans' report is partisan, incomplete, and riddled with inaccuracies and false claims.
Fox's Evan Brown. Another bus arrived in New York City this morning with illegal immigrants on board, sent by Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, who blames Democrat policies for a surge at the border, and that they all went willingly. But the NYC Immigrant Affairs Commissioner Manuel Castro doesn't think so.
Individuals have wanted to leave the buses, and unfortunately, they were met with resistance.
Two fired Minneapolis police officers charged in George Floyd's death have just rejected plea deals, so they'll go to trial in the fall, accused of aiding and abetting ex-cop Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of murder for kneeling on Floyd's neck. America's listening to Fox News.
The economy is headed directly for a disaster. The Fed can either raise rates to lower inflation and trigger a stock and housing market crash, or it can keep rates low and potentially cause hyperinflation. That is why you must take action to protect your savings right now. Hi, this is Stephen K. Bannon, and I urge you to diversify your retirement account out of paper assets and into physical gold. The Birch Gold Group IRA is what I recommend to all my family and friends. And today, Birch Gold is giving away a free information kit about how gold IRAs work. To get your free copy, just text the word PROTECT to 989898. It's crucial for you to get this information before an economic disaster is in full swing. Again, text PROTECT to the number 989898 to get your free information kit on gold. There's no obligation or purchase required, so do it now. Text PROTECT to 989898. Action, action, action. Use your agency. Take action today.
The news on KBLU is brought to you by H&R Block. At H&R Block, help is here.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. AWC has been celebrating the start of a new student building being built. The groundbreaking ceremony for the Student Experience Center will be on August 17th. Inside the center, we'll have everything for students to relax, catch up on homework, or be with friends. More info on the website. The Yuma Arts Center has been inviting artists from throughout the United States, Canada, and Mexico for an all-media art show. The application's deadline to be on the show is September 24th. Read more about the art show, YumaDailyNews.com. A family has been looking for their missing cats after their motorhome caught on fire. Yuma Fire says they believe the fire was caused by a mechanical problem of some kind. Read more about the fire, YumaDailyNews.com. The Padres are done with their three-day series against the Nationals. Now, they start their three-day series against the Marlins. Tonight's game in Miami starts at 3:40. Listen to the game live on AM560 KBLU and get the latest Padres news at YumaDailyNews.com. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm in studio with Adam Hanson and Cody Beeson, and this is Life, Death, and the Law. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning.
How's it going?
So, we have an exciting show today. Of course, everybody has been hearing in the news about Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. So, we're not going to talk as much about the raid on Trump's home in Florida. We're not going to talk as much about what everybody else is talking about in the news. What we're going to do is dive into the nuances that not everybody is talking about. And one of those nuances is Taiwan and its government and recognition as a country or territory, depending on who you ask, and how the basic history of Taiwan. Now, growing up, I remember looking at the label of all my toys, and they would say, made in Taiwan. And so I just thought, everything's made in Taiwan. I didn't really know where Taiwan was or, you know, anything about the political background, but I just knew that everything was made there. Nowadays, when you look at most products, they're made in China. And so there's an interesting history there. Is Taiwan part of China? Is it a separate country? Who governs it? What type of government is it? Why are we supposedly allies with Taiwan, but not with China, which is now becoming a nemesis? And so we're going to dive a little bit into that. So let's start out with a bit of a history. Now, so I want to make sure here and get your feedback, Adam and Cody. If somebody were to ask you, is Taiwan a country? And what's the difference between Taiwan and China? Off the top of your head, what's your response?
It's like a quasi arrangement they have going on, you know, kind of like when Hong Kong was a part of China and England for 100 years, right?
Right.
It's a weird agreement. It's not China, but it's different. It's kind of like China.
Okay. So that's just as confusing as ever. Okay, Adam.
Yeah, I would argue that it's more like a U.S. territory in regard to China. So we've got Guam. We've got the U.S. Virgin Islands. I would argue Taiwan is something like that. Like Cody says, it's like a pseudo country. Obviously, they try to be their own thing, but China's not for that.
Yeah, and Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan on August 2nd, and so this really sparked this concept. And China's always been on the top of our radar as far as pushing their agenda, and Taiwan is a big portion of that agenda. It wants to bring Taiwan not only into its arms as its bona fide territory and governed by the People's Republic of China, which is the governing body in Beijing, but much more than that. And so I want to understand, why was Nancy Pelosi's visit so controversial? Why did that upset China so much? Because we know now that China is exercising military drills with live ammunition all around China and actually demonstrating or practicing for an invasion in Taiwan. And that is something that is both scary and a little bit intriguing as to why. Why is this all occurring, and why did they use Nancy Pelosi's visit as the flashpoint to begin all of this?
I want to know what I should be buying. If Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan, what stocks should I be investing in?
Exactly.
Lithium.
Okay.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah. So we'll get into that, too, and that's an interesting topic. But let me give you a brief background on Taiwan. So this is me searching a little bit on the Internet. Of course, if it's on the Internet, it's got to be true. And so Taiwan obviously is an island. It's about 100 miles away from mainland China. It's separated by China, what's called the Taiwan Strait. And it's 22,000 square miles, so that's how large it is as far as an island goes. And it's actually part of a chain of islands, but the main portion of it is 22,000 square miles. It was part of China originally, going back as far as we can in history to 1000 BC and the Zhao dynasty. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. And then it became a Dutch colony during the big European colonization around the world. And that was between 1620s and 1660s. And then it also, then China reclaimed it back in the 1680s. And when China went to war, or Japan went to war with China during the Sino-Japanese War, China lost. And as part of that, Japan took possession of Taiwan. And so it became part of Japan, or at least was under the governing power of the Japanese government until the World War, the Second World War. And after World War II, Japan had an unconditional surrender, and some of its territories got to be divided up, and Britain and the U.S. decided that they were going to give Taiwan back to China. So it became the Republic of China. It became part of the Chinese one government under the Republic of China, single country, and it was run by Chiang Kai-shek. And Chiang Kai-shek, he was a dictator. He ruled viciously with an iron fist. And so it was a military dictatorship. And he was so harsh on the people that there was a big rebellion. Of course, at the same time, there's Russia, and it's having this big communist revolution. And so China follows suit, and the people get indoctrinated with this Marxism ideology, and they follow Mao Zedong, and they form the People's Republic of China. And so in 1949, they have this civil war, and Mao Zedong wins the civil war, and there's a separation because Chiang, his military dictatorship, is now exiled, and they go to none other than Taiwan. And so he takes what's remaining of the government, and he moves it all to Taiwan. He takes as much as he can, as much as the Air Force, as much as the boats, as much as the library, artifacts, 774 boxes of gold. I don't know how much a box of gold is, but a lot. And so he takes as much as he can, and so he then begins to continues to run the Republic of China from Taiwan. And that is where we begin the two different Chinas. We got two different governments, but it's still called China. Now, the world, the community, the international community, didn't recognize Beijing's China. They didn't recognize Mao Zedong for a long time. In fact, they recognized in the 50s, they recognized Chiang as the legitimate ruler of China and Taiwan as the legitimate seat of government for China. And then things began to change. As the Cold War escalated, China became more strategically important to America and to the rest of the world. And so we needed to form an alliance with China. And so Mao Zedong in 1971 was recognized as the true legitimate leader of China and Beijing, and its government of the People's Republic of China, which is a communist government, became the legitimate government recognized by the United Nations.
So we kind of changed the temperature. We started recognizing China over Taiwan. I mean, remember back when Nixon went over? And I mean, things are different now because of that.
Right.
So that's very interesting. I didn't realize all that.
That changed all that, and that was because of the Cold War.
Yeah.
And so Taiwan, it was becoming a huge industrial power and manufacturer, but as far as nukes, we needed China, and we needed to stabilize the world as far as that goes. We did not want China aligning with Russia or the Soviet Union as it was back then, and so we needed to make an alliance with mainland China, and that's why Beijing got brought within the friendly circle of the United Nations and the countries at power at that time. And so we've got 1971, United Nations recognizes Beijing and Mao Zedong as the leader. Mao Zedong dies in 1976. Chiang Kai-shek, he was the rebellious, well, he was the original dictator, military dictator of China and living in Taiwan. He dies just a year earlier in 1975. So the major leaders of the two different governing parties in China both die within a year of each other, 1975, 1976. And so Xiaoping became the leader of China in 1976. And he started to reconcile the differences between China and Taiwan. He wanted to bring Taiwan back into overall legitimate relationships with China. And so he tried to reach out the olive branch and bring them back in. And they met, and there was an oral agreement, which I find very funny, for countries to determine how they're going to be governed and how their relationship is going to exist. But it was an oral agreement in 1992 between the two separate territories that they would be one China. They would be recognized as one country under two separate governing bodies. Now, the Republic of China in Taiwan is a democracy, is a legitimate democracy with votes and representatives elected and governing that region or that territory. China is communist, and so very different governing powers there. And I'm not sure how they thought they were going to reconcile that peacefully. Hasn't been done in history ever, but they thought they could with an oral agreement. And surprisingly enough, it hasn't worked out all that well. But that, when you hear the president say, we, America's policy is to maintain the status quo of China's relationship with Taiwan, that is what he's talking about. That oral agreement, that they're going to work out their differences as time goes by and make this friendly agreement to make a mutual government that works together for one China. Now, that hasn't worked, obviously, and it's been 30 years. So what's going to happen? Well, China says, we own Taiwan, right? It's part of our country. It's not a separate independent territory. We allow it to run a democracy separately, but it's part of our country. And so we can do whatever we want with Taiwan. So we're not really concerned about what the rest of the world thinks about our military drills as they are occurring now all around Taiwan, because this is an internal affair. Basically, it's like sending federal troops down to Texas. You know, we don't care what the world says about that. You know, within the United States, we're going to do what we want to do.
It's their own business.
Yeah, it's our business. So that's China's position. Obviously, everybody knows that it's complicated that Taiwan has been recognized and is still recognized by, I believe, 13 countries, as including the Vatican, as an independent country with an independent flag. It's got its own national anthem. It's got its own governing body. It's got every factor that you would measure to determine what a country is. It has, and has had, since World War II. Okay? So the fact that China now is saying, nope, that's not it anymore, and we want to establish to the world that the status quo of what you think it was is changing, and that's because it has been wrong for a long, long time. And I would say, I mean, they've got a pretty legitimate argument if you look at how the UN reacted to them in the 1970s. So is it right what they're doing? Do we like it? I don't know. It's complicated is the question. I don't like it personally, and I'll tell you why I don't like it, because I don't like communist governments. We've got to take a break right now. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Lots of sunshine, no rain expected the next couple of days, and the temperatures heating up. Later in the week, we'll start to get some clouds and rain, and we'll cool it back down, but pretty much on track for the middle part of August here, with the sunshine today, 106, and tomorrow, 107. Wednesday, that's our next chance for some rain, but it's only an isolated thunderstorm, 108 the high. A few showers and thunderstorms, though, Thursday, 102 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
After I got out of the Marine Corps, coming back home, it was just a mental breakdown for me. I was on the verge of giving up. That chapter, that season in my life was over. Now what? Who was I? That's what I kept asking myself. The pressure to have it all together, to heal, to quiet down the monsters inside, it was too much. I lost it. I had heard about the Wounded Warrior Project. I had seen the logo and that visual of a warrior carrying another warrior. The programs that the Wounded Warrior Project offers, it's not just the veteran themselves, it's their whole family, and it brings it all together. We have scars that we carry, and just because the scars are there doesn't mean that we're any less than what we were. Right now, I'm the best version that I ever have been of myself. I can embrace the brokenness.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
The way we use electricity and the way we get charged is changing and will continue to change. That's why I love talking about my Rheem heat pumps and air conditioners. The new Rheem equipment are built with electrical demand in mind, in ACs, heat pumps, and furnaces. If you're in the market for a new AC or heat pump, call Air Central Heating and Cooling, your local Rheem dealer.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com.
Listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to love. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I am Sean Garner. I am an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hansen. We do estate planning, but we talk about things like politics. Do we have any qualifications to do this? No. But do we do it anyways? Yes. And that's because we can.
I would argue your law degrees give you, you know, insight and a unique perspective, you know?
You know, given the amount of people with law degrees that have really ridiculous ideas out there, I don't know if I agree with that. Hanging up that paper on the wall doesn't give me any credentials, but the fact that I think and try to use common sense would give me a little bit more credential than anything else. And that's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to analyze from a bigger picture what's going on in the world today, because we've got some news stations saying that we're on the brink of World War III, other world stations saying, nah, we're maintaining the status quo and Joe Biden's doing a fantastic job and got everything under control. So what is the truth? Well, time will tell, but hopefully we can avoid World War III, but we really need to understand, the more we're educated about what's going on in the world, the more we can act appropriately. So what is going on with Taiwan? And we, as we talked about in the last, before the break, Taiwan is being encircled by Chinese military ships and aircraft, and there's military drills with live fire going on, and they are actually practicing mock invasions of Taiwan. and they're not keeping it a secret at all. In fact, they want it to be broadcast to the world that, yes, we can do this, and we've got all the authority in the world to do it because Taiwan is part of China, and it should be governed exactly how we see it. And so if we need to use force to govern our own territory, we can do so. And who's to argue against us? And when the United Nations recognized Beijing and Mao Zedong as the actual de facto ruler of China and governing party, then I think they gave a lot of legitimacy to that argument. And now we don't like that argument, and because we like democracies, and China is really rattling its saber at us, saying, you do what we want you to do, you trade with us how we want you to trade, and we are going to align with whatever countries we want to align with, and Iran and Russia are right in there in the mix, and all those countries have demonstrated hostilities towards the United States, obviously. So we're a bit concerned now, and obviously we want people to maintain freedom that currently have freedom. Taiwanese people, they currently have a high degree of freedom. They vote for their representatives. They have a representative democracy. And if you were to ask the Taiwanese people, they, majority of them, 63% of them, classify themselves exclusively as Taiwanese and not Japanese, or not Chinese, I'm sorry. Only 3% identify as Chinese. So they recognize themselves as completely separate. They want to be recognized as an independent country. So it's really important when a U.S. official talks about Taiwan in Taiwan with China 100 miles away across the Taiwan Strait and accidentally has what the media calls a gaffe and refers to Taiwan as a country and not as a territory, because the United Nations and the United States policy is that it is a territory of China. And so it's not just a gaffe. Words are important. Of course, we've been taught that, and that's been driven through our brains by this woke movement. Words matter. Well, when you use words like country and territory, those words certainly matter. And so when Nancy Pelosi was over in Taiwan, she called Taiwan a country. And she said that the United States stands behind Taiwan and its democratic governing powers and wants it to maintain this democratic freedom. So there is, of course, an uproar from China. A lot of people say, well, China is overreacting about this. Well, when you've got a world superpower and the person that's third in chain of command, well, as far as the presidency, you know, you got obviously Biden and you got Kamala Harris, and then the third person in line for the presidency would be Nancy Pelosi, and she's arguably the most powerful person in Congress, then that's a big deal when you call a territory of yours an independent country.
Well, especially when number one's already asleep.
Right.
So she's absolutely...
And number two's been in la-la land from the beginning. Yeah. So, that is a big deal. So the question is, why would Nancy Pelosi do this? And I think, Adam, you've delved into this a little bit. We hear a lot of commentators from the news saying, okay, she can do whatever she wants. She's not only an American citizen that can travel where she wants, but she's a member of Congress, and we're not going to let China dictate to her what her traveling schedule can be. Okay, I agree. But I also agree that it's a bad idea if you're at a highly contested football game to go to the other team's crowd and start sticking your tongue out at them and cheering for your team. That's not a great idea.
I've done that.
And how'd it turn out for you?
Not so good.
Yeah. So that's essentially what Nancy Pelosi did. So her timing was not only awkward, it was a flashpoint.
It's provocative.
Very provocative, right? She can't say it's not provocative because this is what she does and she can do it anytime she wants. No, this isn't what people do. In fact, it hasn't been done for 25 years when Newt Gingrich did it. And he did it back in 1998. And at that time, the relationship was much different. Now, the tensions are high. They're looking for anything as an excuse to begin aggressions against Taiwan and begin the invasion of Taiwan. We saw this, I mean, how short is our memory? We just saw this a year ago. It's not even been a year ago. It was in January of this year when Russia was aligning its troops along the Ukrainian border, and we're saying, don't do anything to trigger hostilities or an invasion into Ukraine, because we don't want to give them any excuse. So have we done military drills before in Ukraine? Yes. Are we going to do it now with Russia aligning all of its forces on the border? No, we're not going to do those, right? That's not a good idea. So we need to calm things down a bit and not give them any excuse. And so when they do invade, we can say and align with the rest of the world, saying they're doing this unilaterally. They didn't have any provocation. Nancy Pelosi gave them that provocation.
And you already, you laid the groundwork saying that this is actually a high-tension type scenario, so why now? And that's the biggest question. When I heard the news releases that Nancy Pelosi was going on this big Asian tour, and the big deal about it was Taiwan, I'm thinking to myself, what does, first of all, Nancy Pelosi care about Taiwan and Asia? She's the Speaker of the House. What does she care? Shouldn't she spend most of her time here domestically and try and fix what's going wrong here in the United States? Why would you have time to go abroad and try and fix world problems that really don't exist unless you go there and you give them a reason to exist? It's creating a problem or looking for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist until you go over there. So, Sean, you did a great job laying the groundwork of the high-tension environment that already existed, and Nancy Pelosi just exacerbated that by going to Taiwan. And she knows. I mean, what the media said was that, oh, this isn't new for her in the sense that she's always been fighting for Taiwan and Taiwanese rights and things like that. I'm like, I've never heard of this before. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. And nobody's been there for 25 years, so why now? Why now? Like, what is the big impetus or the cause of her, to me, what seems like an all of a sudden travel itinerary to Asia? And knowing, so if she does have all these connections in Taiwan, or let's say it this way, she has been a supporter of the Taiwanese people and let's say its independence from China so much in the past, and that's what the media really drove up. It was like, oh, well, this isn't new for her. She's always been for Taiwan, and Nancy and Taiwan are, you know, BFFs and stuff. And I thought, well, who cares, number one? Like, what do we care about Taiwan? But when you dig into it a little deeper, and as Sean has already said and laid the groundwork, that it's a high-tension environment, and the relationship between the United States, the European Union, and Taiwan and China are all at stake here. And so when we send a representative from the United States over and give credence to an independent Taiwan, China's not going to be happy with that. Not that we care. I mean, so much. I don't think that's the issue. I think it's more so you're using my tax money to pay for the plane ride, the press entourage. Actually, she didn't take press, is what I understand. She didn't allow press on the actual plane or with them. But she is using our tax money to pay for this huge trip in Asia. And for what purpose? That's what my biggest question deep down is. Why did I just pay for Nancy Pelosi to go to Asia? And she knowing, supposedly, because her relationship is such that she knows Taiwan so well because of her past experiences with Taiwan, and that was the big thing that they drove home in the media releases. If she knows Taiwan so well, then she would have known that the tensions between China and Taiwan are such that if she visits, it's going to be very high stress and probably a triggering of what we're seeing now, military action by China to assert their authority over Taiwan, or at least let the world know, and specifically Taiwan know, that they can't go off on their own and do their own thing. China owns them. That's what China's trying to say by putting this military action around the island. And so we've already established the stakes are high. Nancy Pelosi knows that, yet she chooses to use our tax money to go there now in 2022. For what purpose? That is the big question that I have. Why? Why now? Because, like I said, in the very beginning when I heard she's going over on this big tour of Asia and Taiwan's the pinnacle of all this, my first thought was, why does she care? Like, why are you going to Taiwan? Why are you going to Asia? What does it matter?
And so as you dig a little deeper, coming off the heels of some allegations for her husband moving stocks and buying certain stocks, you know, we heard this, I think, maybe four or five weeks ago, it came out that he started buying stocks in companies that were about to, I wouldn't say get a kickback, but they were going to be involved in the future legislation that was being passed by the House and the Senate.
Well, they're getting government funding. They're calling it the welfare for these big corporate companies. And so, yeah, it's $50 or $60 billion. I think it's $50 billion that just got passed to provide these microchip companies, these semiconductor companies, with government money to increase their production. And before that happened, Paul Pelosi, who is a fantastic, miraculous stock trader who's worth over $100 million in his own right, purchased $5 million worth of microchip stock. What is that stock? I forget the name of it, but I'll come up with it. And so he purchased this microchip, this stock, and of course a reporter asked Nancy Pelosi at the next press conference, what's going on? Does he know something that we don't know? And she says, absolutely not, and it's a free market. We can buy stock whenever we want.
Very defensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because if I say it's interesting because you and I, as normal individuals, we can't, if I have a friend or a buddy or a family member in a company that's traded on the stock market, and he calls me and says, Adam, we're going to make a big deal. Nobody knows about this. This is a secret. We are going to merge with IBM. We're going to merge with Microsoft. It's a huge deal coming up in the next few weeks. You should probably buy in right now, you know, get it low. And when this big deal comes out, your stock is just going to skyrocket. That's insider trading, and that's illegal. You can't do that, right?
Right. Yeah, and so I came up with it. It's NVIDIA. That's what he bought.
The graphics company.
Yeah.
I love NVIDIA,
graphics card, yeah.
And NVIDIA is big with cryptocurrency because they need that type of microchip to mine cryptocurrency. And so cryptocurrency, we've seen, go along this roller coaster. And so there's actually a following of Paul Pelosi's stock trading practices, and there are people, you can actually tell your stock advisor or your investment advisor simply to follow Paul Pelosi. Whatever he buys, you buy.
That's wonderful advice. That's a great thing.
And just to piggyback off of what you were talking about, how you can't use insider information, and nor can I. So we partner with financial service companies. We are licensed with Ameriprise, and we work with Ameriprise advisors to help our clients understand, number one, how they can legitimately and most efficiently move their assets into a trust without any undue taxes and keep their investments the way they want them. And number two, if they need additional investment advice as life goes on, or transferring their assets to their children upon their death, we can help them with that. Now, with that license comes a lot of responsibility. I have to report to the SEC and the FINRA every year, every job that I hold, every commission that I receive on any type of business dealings that I do, every LLC that I have, every business partner that I have, and any change of address. I've got to report all of that. I can't, if I see a good deal on even a house, I can't go to somebody and tell them, hey, you should buy this house. It's actually below fair market value right now, and it might be a good flip for you. I can't do that. That's investment advice. And as an advisor with a license, I'm held to this higher level of scrutiny, okay? Nancy Pelosi, with a million times more information than I have about what's going on in companies, can give that information and does give that information to her husband. And there are investigations into his trading right now as to whether or not the amount of information she gave him was to the extent that it was classified as insider trading. But I think we all know. I mean, just look at the outcome, and we can, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, it's a duck. We got to take a break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
What's the best audio service you never have to pay for? Local Arizona Radio. No subscription, no user passwords, no internet required. Just hours of great music, local Arizona news, sports, and more. Up and down your AM-FM dial. Listen in your car, on your smartphone, or your smart speaker. When you plug in the local radio, you get great free programming, and you support your community. Find your favorite Arizona stations today at plugintoaz.com.
There are some basic business mistakes you may be making right now. One is not preparing for what is next. Wait and see, while cautious, is a pathway to mediocre. While we are waiting, we learn to live with only what is instead of what could be. This only makes us adequate and not irreplaceable. Those that continue to innovate and communicate their ability as a resource to the consumer have always fared better than those that wait and see or just plain stop. Talk to one of our marketing experts right now who can help your business. Make a free fact-finding appointment today at yumaadvertising.com.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit stoptextstoprex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Sean Garner, the other attorney in our office. And then we've got Cody Deason pushing buttons and turning dials and trying his best to make us sound good. It's a big job for him. And, we got buttons.
No, we had a crowd. They came in and just applauded us.
Oh, yes.
I figured, well, you know, you're calling for it. Might as well.
So, prior to the break, we were talking about this big trip that Nancy Pelosi made to the Asian area, specifically Taiwan. Sean did a great job of outlining the history of Taiwan. And as he's droning on about the history in the background, I'm like, I don't care about Taiwan. What do I care? I'm in the United States. But it does become relevant because China feels like they own Taiwan, and they are a threat to the United States. If you think that they're not, then you're probably reading media sources and listening to media that's mainstream. But China is a threat to the United States, and so when we have a strong China, we have a threat to the United States, and we want to make sure that that threat is abated and not provoked. And so when we see Nancy Pelosi go to Taiwan, we've already laid the groundwork of her knowledge of tension between Taiwan and China. She made a gaffe, is what they're calling it, by calling Taiwan a country when she was visiting Taiwan, and China, in response, was not happy about that.
I'll just warn you, if you go out and try to search for that media clip, it's going to be buried. You'll have to search long and deep to find her actually calling Taiwan a country, but when it originally came out, she did call it a country. And if you look at her website and the transcript, it's been heavily edited.
We talked about why now? Why is she going to Taiwan? And knowing that the tension is so high, and I brought up prior to the break the recent news cycle articles that came out about Paul Pelosi, her husband. And Sean talked about how if you were to make the same stock trading trades as Paul Pelosi did, then you will beat the market almost every time because of what I would argue is insider knowledge. The big thing that came out recently was his investing in NVIDIA, which is a semiconductor and graphics card company. I love NVIDIA. I'm very aware of them because of computers that I like. They're big into the gaming space when it comes to computers, but specifically when you do, for example, VR. I have a VR headset, an Oculus headset, and if I want to hook that up to my computer and run specific games or scenarios, VR, virtual reality scenarios, it takes a lot of computing power, which takes a big graphics processor. And NVIDIA is at the forefront and has been at the forefront of designing graphics processors and video cards for a very long time, and they're, I would argue, the best at it. And they have actually the fastest cards on the market, and they're extremely expensive. So if I wanted to get one to run my headset, let's say I want to do a flight simulator, and instead of buying all of the let's say winter visitor crowd here in Yuma, they have clubs where you can do you can be in the club and you can do flight simulations. So you buy your cockpit chair, you buy these screens, two or three screens that are going to wrap around you, and then you buy your joystick, you buy your throttle, and everything is run on this big computer, and it looks like you're flying in real life, but really you're sitting in your chair. It's a simulation. Well, instead of getting into all that stuff, now you can just buy a VR headset, and it's like you're in the plane even to a different degree. But in order to run that type of stuff, you've got to have a very, very powerful graphics card or a video card, and NVIDIA is top of the list at this. And so over the pandemic, what's happened because of the shortages of semiconductors and processors and things like that, these cards have actually skyrocketed in value. Not value, I should say, but price. And very hard to get. I was looking at it because of my VR headset. I wanted to get one to do flight simulation, and you're looking at like $2,500 to $3,000 just for the graphics card. That's not for a computer. That's just for the graphics card, a video card to put into your computer, in addition to the other stuff that you have in your computer. And so it's a very, very expensive proposition right now because of the semiconductors and the processors and the manufacturing and the actual getting them to market. So having said all that, NVIDIA is one of these companies that is big into that, but for some reason Paul Pelosi put $5 million into this company, and lo and behold, a week later we find out that was because it was going to get a ton of government money that was passed through the House and the Senate, and so does that classify as insider trading? I would argue yes. You've got the Speaker of the House's husband that tends to be on the winning side of all of these deals and always picking the winning horse. But yet, if you and I were to get insider knowledge from a company person that says, Adam, Sean, Cody, if you guys need to buy some of this stock because we're going to do this big merger next week, or we're going to do this big thing or release this big product, so you need to get in now, that's against the law federally, and you could go to prison for that because that's considered insider trading. But yet when Nancy Pelosi's husband does it, no consequence. Nobody really knows about it. They bury the story. I tell you this because what we find out, if you dig a little deeper on the Taiwan visit, she had a guest with her. It wasn't Paul Pelosi, her husband. It was Paul Pelosi Jr., her son. And Paul Pelosi is heavily into lithium. He sits on a board. I Googled Pelosi Lithium Company. Those are the three keywords I Googled. The first thing on the list was from a company called St. George. It's a lithium mining company. So how does that tie into the Taiwan visit from Pelosi? Taiwan is trying to position itself as the number one producer and user of lithium in the world. They're heavily into lithium-ion batteries and semiconductors. And so lithium is the main ingredients of all these things. And What we didn't get from the American press was that Paul Pelosi Jr. was actually with Nancy. He was on the plane over there. I just Googled, because Sean, I told him about this yesterday, and Sean, leading up to this, you went on and you started Googling, and you said you couldn't find a lot of stuff. So my first thing was, well, that's because it's probably being buried in the American media, and so we got to dig a little deeper. How do you dig deeper? But with the internet nowadays, I can go straight to Taiwan's news sources. So I just went to Taiwan, one of the newspapers in Taiwan, and I searched for the word Pelosi in their website, and obviously all these articles came up in the Taiwan news press releases, and I clicked on one of those articles. There's a couple pictures there, and you see an entourage here of Nancy Pelosi in this picture. I haven't shown you this, Sean. And if you look right here over her shoulder, let me click on this here. Over her shoulder is this white guy right here amidst all these Taiwanese people.
He looks a lot like Nancy.
Well, that's her son. What's interesting was he wasn't listed on the manifest. You know, he wasn't on the trip. He's nowhere to be seen on this trip. But yet, as you start looking in photos, he's actually there right around her all the time. And in one of the actual banquets that they went to, the Taiwanese dignitaries are listening. They're saying things like, thank you, Nancy Pelosi. We want to recognize Nancy Pelosi from the United States and blah, blah, blah. And in that, they keep going. They say, and Mr. Pelosi. Well, Paul Pelosi Sr., dad, was in the United States.
Otherwise engaged in the court hearing for his DUI.
Yeah. So who is this other Mr. Pelosi? Well, it was her son. If you go to her website, the Speaker of the House's website, and you look at the transcript, his name has been taken off of that. So it's that Mr. and also Mr. Pelosi is not in the transcript for on her website. So why are they hiding that? It really feels like the Biden peddling influence thing to me, and it made it come into more focus for me. Why is she doing it now? Even though, and I say that because, like you said, Sean, tensions are extremely high, and she knows that, supposedly. She's this expert on Taiwan, or she's been involved in Taiwan for all these years. So if that's true, then she knows how delicate the environment is, yet she chooses to do it. So why? Why now? And why take your son along with you and scrub him from all the American photos, from all the American press releases? But yet if you were to go to the foreign Asian pictures and releases, you can see him there, and he's actively there. Well, it's because, I argue, because of his ties with the lithium industry. He sits on multiple boards, all invested in lithium. And Taiwan being the primary capital of lithium production and use and manufacturing, no wonder she's going right now, because it makes her rich. It's going to enrich her, it's going to enrich her family, and she could care less about the American people and the fragile hostilities of China and Taiwan. To her, this is an opportunity, and she took the opportunity to use our tax money to go and visit Taiwan to bolster the relations between herself, using her relationship, and her son sitting on boards of lithium companies to enrich themselves and their family. That's what I'm arguing.
Well, coincidentally, a bill just passed the Senate, and it's called the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. And this bill includes $369 billion to invest in climate change. Well, what is that? That's investing in electric cars. What are electric cars used?
Powered by? Lithium-ion batteries.
Tesla is one of her stock picks. Tesla is one of them amongst with, you know, Microsoft and Apple and all those tech picks.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am.
Well, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to, you know, connect the dots.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
And that's
here.
The problem.
It's not
when
that
you connect
difficult.
The dots, and the dots lead to high-level political corruption, now it becomes a conspiracy theory. Well, it's like, well, is that connecting the dots, or is that conspiracy? Because I'm just looking at, usually, this, as the saying goes, follow the money.
Absolutely.
And that's it. Is it really a conspiracy when somebody wants power and money? And I mean, it's greedy. Like, that's
right.
Just human nature.
Right.
As attorneys, we look for evidence. So I have people all the time come to me and say, well, Adam, this happened. Well, how do you know that happened? Well, so-and-so told me this, and so-and-so told me that. And I'm like, did you actually see it happen? Did you experience this, that, or the other? No. But I heard from this person, that's no good. That's no good to me as a lawyer. You have to have direct evidence. There has to be evidence in order to convict or to find a finding that's going to be in your favor. And telling me hearsay from what somebody else told you is not going to work in a court of law. So as lawyers, as we're going through things like this, and I'm seeing pictures of Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Jr., in background pictures and doing basic searches on the internet in Taiwanese news and Asian news sources, seeing him there, but not seeing him in the U.S. ones. He's not even known in the U.S.
Right. How many commentators, including conservative commentators, you know, Fox News, or you go to Daily Wire with, like, Ben Shapiro and Michael Knowles, and they're all asking, why did she go at this time? You know, BBC will ask the same questions. Everybody's asking these questions, and nothing. There is no answer other than, well, she can do what she wants to do. She regularly goes and and goes and visits these countries. No, she doesn't.
No,
she hasn't been there in
25
years.
Yeah.
And so it's just the question came up empty until yesterday when if you want to really see a good narrative on this, Google Jesse Waters on Paul Pelosi Jr. And you can Google, go to YouTube, and you can find a good story on that. And he'll explain the timeline and all the interactions that Paul Pelosi Jr. had with these diplomats of not only Taiwan, but of Japan.
Every country she visited.
South Korea. All these countries that are heavily involved in
lithium.
Semiconductors and lithium
batteries.
And voila, there you have it.
And that brings it into perspective as to why now, knowing the stakes are so high, why now? That's the why. And I argue it's because it's this self-enrichment, you know. And we're seeing this over and over again with not only her husband, now her son. And nobody's reporting on this. We've got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM, KBLU.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
With the $45,000 Mystery Chef Cash Giveaway at Clichon Casino Resort. Stop by August 13th and 27th for a chance to reach for a mystery bag of loot. You could win up to $5,000 cash. Play with your rewards club card to earn entries. Not a member yet? Sign up today for the chance to win up to $1,000. Strike gold with Clichon Casino Resort's $45,000 Mystery Chef Cash Giveaway. So much, so close. Clichon Casino Resort. Must be 21 and older. Management reserve all rights. Call 1-800-NEXT-247 for problem gambling.
Is your prostate secretly being destroyed without you knowing it? All the ads for these prostate pills, like Super Beta Prostate, Saw Palmetto, Prostastream, Prostagenics, and others, want to know which pills work and which are garbage? Now you can. Get a free copy of the new guide, Prostate Secrets, that pulls back the curtain on the prostate pill industry. Learn what is really in these pills. Which pill has over 987 adverse event reports filed against it with the FDA? It's shocking. Learn the one food to avoid that is a prostate killer. And discover the three so-called health foods that destroy your prostate. Get your free copy at ProstateSecrets.com. That's ProstateSecrets.com. This free guide will show you how to end your prostate problems without drugs or surgery, five important things to do to protect your prostate, and much more. Warning, this guide is controversial and may be offensive to some readers as it pulls no punches. So go to ProstateSecrets.com. ProstateSecrets.com. That's ProstateSecrets.com.
A chocolate-free Halloween? Back in 1 minute with your food chain question of the day.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then, if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-691-7987. 800-691-7987. 800-691-7987. That's 800-691-7987.
Candy maker Hershey says its supply of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Kit Kat, and Almond Joy chocolate candies will not meet the demand of trick-or-treaters this Halloween. Hershey CEO Michelle Buff warned about the potential shortfall on the company's second quarter earnings call, noting that while seasonal consumer demand remains high, we will not be able to fully meet consumer demand due to capacity constraints. Question: should Hershey's run short of chocolate, which Halloween treat would you miss most? Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Kit Kat, or Almond Joy?
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.